Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Yes, we will, friends. Welcome to Praying for America. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. It's always such a joy to be with you. And we will make America great again, not only because we rely on prayer and on the grace of God and the power of Christ and His Spirit, but because we have one another as friends and colleagues in this great movement. And today we're happy to welcome one of those friends and colleagues onto this program. I've been looking forward to this. He and I have been doing more and more things together to proclaim the gospel of life and of truth and to help save America. He is someone you may know from television and other aspects of his ministry, which he's going to tell us more about. He is Bishop Aubrey Shines. He is a fellow resident of the great state of Florida, where I also am, and he pastors a church here. He's going to tell us all about that, and he also is a broadcaster. Aubrey Shines, welcome to the program.
My dear friend, what a wonderful time it is to be with you. Thanks so much, Frank, for having me.
Absolutely. So as we usually do on this program, we're going to start with a scripture. And I chose this scripture because I know it's particularly meaningful to you and relevant to your ministry. We'll pray, and then we'll get into our discussion together. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and starting with verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we turn to you today with renewed confidence, rejoicing in the resurrection of your Son, rejoicing in the gift of his Spirit, and rejoicing in the glory that you lead us to day after day, trial after trial, victory after victory. Lord God, we pray that each day may be a story of obedience after obedience and of service after service as we serve your people, as we serve your kingdom, and as we serve this great nation of America, which we love, Lord, we invoke your Spirit over this nation because, as your word has just told us, where your Spirit is, there is freedom. We are committed to freedom. We are committed to your truth. Lord, we are committed to you. Bless our time together now that we may, together with our audience, go from glory to glory in our service of you and in the gift of salvation. We ask this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, Aubrey, you got your start in Chicago, which I think is a place that many Americans are trying to understand, right? It's kind of a little bit of a crazy place. I've had some good history with Chicago, too. One of our key leaders in Priests for Life, in fact, from the very beginning, is based there. But tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into ministry, and how that ministry has unfolded to this day.
I wish I could say to your audience, Frank, that, you know, being raised in a church gave me all the navigation tools that I would need. Unfortunately, it didn't. I certainly was not a stranger to church, having a mom and dad, grandparents that were involved in Christianity. But I would be very, very recluse to say that I even understood any of it. Found myself really kind of going from pillar to post. I wasn't, in my mind at least, searching. If you would have asked me in my formative years, do I believe in Jesus? I probably would have told you yes. But you probably could have asked me, did I believe in the Bugs Bunny cartoons? And I probably would have told you yes with that as well, because unfortunately, often what happens, a lot of us, we find ourselves in church not really understanding it. I found myself, however, really being confronted with a lot of life issues. And it wasn't necessarily bad. I was doing very well. My father had recently passed, maybe a year or two, and I was making just a ton of money, family business, very strong, successful business home. And here I am, a teenager, just making tons of money, legally, that is, tons of money, but not satisfied. And over a chain of events, went to church, and just really slowly, now I look back at it, of course, Frank, I realized it was really the Spirit of the Lord just kind of pulling me towards him. And in that act of surrendering, there I was, you know, finally surrendered, finally understood it. And at the age of 20, began serving the Lord. That was about 131,000 years ago. And I'm still doing it, Frank. We've just turned it up a notch or two, and found myself, of course, college, and then going to Bible school, being involved, engaged in ministry, and just really felt led of the Lord to do the things, was recognized, ordained by one of the largest reformations in the country as an evangelist. And that really kind of catapulted me to the world, you know, at that point, birthed the work here as a pastor over 20 years ago now. And we're 20 plus different ethnic groups, as you are well aware, you've been here, and we're doing things there. I've recently been asked, Frank, I think I may have shared this with you, to be an advisor to the Turning Point USA travel. Yes. Donald Trump. I'm the only clergy, your audience may want to know, I am the only clergy that Hillary Clinton actually put in her book by name.
That's right.
The reason she lost the election, I'm that guy right here.
She, what was her quote? She said, oh, what did she call you? A right wing extremist?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. And that was, and you're giving her some pretty good kudos there. She called me, what was her exact word? She says, a very prominent bishop, Bishop Aubrey Shines, developed a video. And what I did was just, developed it myself, a 5.5-6 minute video saying why every clergy in America could not vote for someone who obviously hated God, hated his principles, and I was unashamed to do it. I really didn't do it for the sake of, quote, getting to her. It was actually written that I could share with clergy across denominational lines, across reformational lines, to say, come on, guys, we got to team up here. We got to make sure that we maintain our nation. She didn't like that because we went into about 60 plus million homes as a result of it. And here we are several years later, still doing the work, my friend.
Yes. Well, you're in the name of your ministry, of course, which is why I went to that 2 Corinthians 3, is glory to glory, right?
It is.
Yes.
Right here in Tampa, Florida, every week. And the ministry is doing very, very well. Can't wait for you to come and grace us in the very near future, my friend.
Well, you know, and I want to share with our audience, you graciously opened up your pulpit to me. It was the 2 days after the reversal of Roe v. Wade, right in June of 2022. And it was a really last minute thing miraculously I was able to do it and flew out there to Tampa. And boy, did we have a celebration. That was awesome.
Oh, my God. I really believe that was divine. Again, look at your body of work. Here you are, the conduit that the Lord himself used to bring the young lady who was involved with the Roe v. Wade a lie. You are the one who introduced her to faith. And 2 days after our Supreme Court rightly put it back to the state, I reach out to you And I mean, it was just really a divine act, in my opinion. You were able to come in to be with us. And wow, my congregants are still talking about the impact that you had as a result of not just your history of it, but able to kind of move us forward. Really a tremendous time. It really was.
Well, and you and I share now a particular challenge here in Florida. And I know, I mean, we've been doing more and more work together. We're going to do more and more work together. Our audience is going to see us more and more together. But we have a big challenge, as you know, right here in Florida right now, because the other side is introduced this ballot initiative, and they actually want to take away any limits on abortion. Here in Florida, we just had this law take effect that protects babies starting at 6 weeks, which is a beautiful, you know, the day that went into effect on May 1st, I got up in the morning, and one of the first things I did, I went outside and I kissed the ground. And
I love it.
I said, babies in the womb have never had more protection in Florida in the last 50 years than they do today. But now the other side wants to take that protection completely away with an amendment that would allow not just a doctor, but any undefined, vague, nebulous healthcare provider to do abortions all throughout pregnancy. I mean, the extremism of this is, I mean, what are you saying to people about this during these days as they come to know about this crazy proposal?
Yeah, one of the things, Frank, that we're doing, and you and I are going to do this, in my opinion, much better together. I really do believe two are better than one. I believe that we're just trying to make sure that our audiences, plural, they really understand the enormity of this, that this is a culture of death. That I often remind them, Frank, here's the individual that started this, Margaret Sanger. Here's what she represents. Here are the words that she said. Here are the groups that she's targeting. And don't be purchased by what I call real slick Fifth Avenue marketeers who are able to kind of market this and, oh, no. It's just a person's right to choose. No, it really isn't, not when it's not your body. Here's the irony, isn't it? Because the same lady, if she chose to smoke, I don't know, meth, and she, quote, killed her child in the womb, she would actually be held not liable.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
So
yes.
Again, the conundrum that they have is it's extraordinary. And what I'm trying to do is awaken, especially, and you know these statistics, Frank, even better than I. The majority of these, what I call chop shops, because that's all they are. They're murder chop shops. They're put in very poor white, black, and brown communities. So one must ask themselves the question, why is it that they want to exterminate poor white people, poor black people, and poor brown people? Why are they that interested in exterminating you? And I'm going for the jugular on this, Frank. I think we can win this if we really work together.
Oh, we can. We can. You know, thank God we have a 60% threshold here in Florida for voters to pass a constitutional amendment, unlike most of the other states that even allow this process in the first place, have a 50% plus one threshold. Yeah. And I don't think that should be, because you're talking about change, not just talking about passing a law, talking about changing the Constitution. So I think we have that working in our favor here in Florida, but we just have a great state. We got a great state. We got a lot of faithful, believing, conservative, God-loving, patriotic people. All right, so we're going to work together on this. And for those of you that are just joining us, we're talking with Bishop Aubrey Shines. He is a prophetic voice in our nation, a great colleague and friend and somebody who does broadcasting himself. In fact, Aubrey, I want you to tell him a little bit about your show, which you've had me on many times. And he's a pastor here in Florida and has a wonderful ministry, Glory to Glory, G2G ministry. He's a great supporter of our friend, President Trump. And just Aubrey, you've done a lot. And but tell us about your broadcast program.
So weekly, every Saturday, 3 p.m., and they run it again, that's Eastern Standard Time. I'm on a show by the name, by the way, I wish I could take credit, Frank, for the name. I don't have that right. That was John Solomon who came up with the name America Shines. He's a dear friend of mine. And we're on discussing cultural, historical, and Judeo-Christian issues as it relates to the founding of America. Yes. And we're unashamed. So we may have a guest on who's a medical doctor, a frontline doctor, why they oppose the COVID-19 vaccine shot. Or we may have individuals that are on various attorneys that are addressing the various issues that are in our court system right now as they're trying to railroad this our former president, Donald J. Trump, with these just bogus charges. And so we may have guests like that on all the time. And then, of course, individuals like yourself, and I say this with no flattery, that really personify, in my opinion, the real work of Christ in the earth. This is why I'm really honored to be able to be the host of America Shines.
America Shines with Aubrey Shines. Yeah. That's great music in the intro to that program, too. I always enjoy it. Now, so John Solomon, another great, great, great American. What a job he does with the news, and been privileged to get to know him a little bit, but I really admire him a lot. President Trump, tell us a little bit about how you have been able to assist him over the years, and give us your reflections, if you would, about, you know, this is a crazy moment in American history. Never has it happened before that we have seen these tactics of a political opponent trying to jail their political opponent in the middle of a major presidential election. I mean, what's going on here? And to give us your reflections about this whole thing, what it means for American politics right now and for the choice we need to make in this election, and also the incredible example of how this man, President Trump, is handling all of this. I mean, everybody who talks about this says, you know, I don't know if there's another human being I'm aware of who has the kind of strength that he has to go through all this.
You know, it is amazing, isn't it? I've had a lot of criticism, Frank, through the years. Just almost ad nauseum, where I would have individuals, how can you, being a bishop, how can you support this guy? And they would just list all of the nasties about this guy. And I would often have to remind them, if they are Christian, that the same God, by the way, who raised up Abraham, was the father of all of our faith. We know that Abraham lied. We know that he didn't always do the right thing. We look at great other leaders like Moses, who was so angry, he actually kind of forfeited himself away from the very promise that God had intended. And time won't allow me to go through all of the patriarchs and matriarchs of Scripture who had some smithering of a need of an adjustment from God. But God, in my opinion, really used Donald J. Trump. By the way, for your audience, he wasn't my first choice. I wasn't really thinking about Donald Trump. I had nothing bad to think about, but I was going with another candidate, and I really felt at a particular moment that the Lord was really dealing with my heart. He was going to raise up Donald Trump. And this is what I heard, as he did Cyrus. Those of your audience that know who Cyrus was in Scripture, he certainly didn't represent the best of the best of the kingdom of Israel. As a matter of fact, it was kind of on the outside of it. But yet, he was God's man. God used him. And as a result of King Cyrus, Israel found an establishment again. They found that they could go and practice their various festivals again. That's what. And so when we look at Trump and we look at what he's going through, thank God, while you and I are talking right now, that the federal judge in our great state, by the way, has just given Jack Smith horrible news. He's going to lose this. It's obvious. They've lied to the court, and there's not going to be this May 6th or May 16th, rather, time of court. But she's going to force now the Department of Justice to come in and explain, why did they lie? We're seeing the same breakout in Fani Willis there in my ex-state of Georgia. She's now going before the Georgia Supreme Court there pretty soon, or at least the legislators. And it looks like they're about to finally get this little lying woman off the case. And so we're seeing what they've put together. It's really kind of falling apart. It's really unfortunate. But Frank, it reminds me of something that you and I have both seen, and that is, it's the semblance of a banana republic. And I believe, in the words of Benjamin Franklin, this is a great republic only if, in Franklin's words, if we can keep it. This is what you and I are doing. We're fighting to keep this republic.
You know, it is these cases against President Trump are falling apart. Even here in New York, this ridiculous Alvin Bragg circus that's going on. I understand that Stormy Daniels didn't exactly help the case, when she took the stand. But one of the things I've been saying in my commentary is what is disgraceful. One of the many things disgraceful about this New York case is why on earth should the American people be brought through 6 or 8 weeks of daily news and focus on this Stormy Daniels and this payment that wasn't even illegal? I mean, nobody even knows what the crime is here. It's right. So ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's like the question that comes into my mind first and foremost is, have we as an American people and an American media nothing better to talk about right now?
I don't think we do. No, Frank, I think your finger's on the pulse, my friend. Wait, we don't. Because if you talk about it, then something has to be done. I believe that they are intentionally keeping the American public ignorant as it relates to a lot of these topics. Why? Because we know that they're not always reporting this data on legacy media. And I want to really encourage your audience, Frank, that follow you. Here's the reality. There would be a lot of individuals that would not know facts and truths, not just on issues of life, but issues of integrity, issue of fairness, issues of balance, issues of justice. They would not know these things, Frank, unless programs like yours exist, are funded, and constantly supported. The American Christian clergy study our revolution through our Civil War have always been the forefront voices to turn America back to God. Whether we were divorcing ourselves from the Brits, whether we were in our own internal struggle of what God calls humans versus those who wanted to say, no, you're not if you're a certain skin color. It was always the clergy that's in the United States of America that left their pulpits, as you and I do, and we're out on the front line with our spiritual muskets, and we're firing shots, and we're not taking any prisoners because we believe in this great idea of the United States of America that was founded on Judeo-Christian ethos.
Yes. Yes. And for those that are just joining us, Bishop Audrey Shines is with us today, friend and colleague, voice for the Kingdom of God and for America, broadcaster, author, and just somebody who is I'm going to be really, really proud to continue to partner with as we go further here, especially in these next 6 months. So critical to our country and beyond. I wanted to ask you a question, Aubrey, because I think you would have great insight into this. Those voters, and you know, sometimes you see these polls, I'm not so sure I believe them, that say, okay, so obviously what the Democrats are trying to do with President Trump, they want to get a conviction. They threw these 91 different charges at him under 4 indictments. And, you know, people like Alan Dershowitz, you know, have done just such great analysis where he says never in his career as a constitutional expert for over 60 years has he seen anything as unconstitutional as this. I mean, it's twisting the law into all kinds of imaginary pretzels, and it's just meaningless, ultimately. It's pure political persecution. But what they're trying to do is, my assessment is this, but I'd like to get your feedback, that the other side, the people that are doing this, know full well, they know that there's no legal or constitutional stuff here. There's no basis for this, okay? They know that. They don't care. All they're trying to do is ultimately get to the point where, well, first of all, in the process of it, they're trying to keep him off the campaign trail.
Yeah.
So I have him sitting in a courtroom instead of doing these great rallies, which, of course, he's able to do some of them anyway. But that's one thing. But then I think the end game is, let's be able to say to the voters before Election Day, even though some of these other trials, they're just not going to happen before Election Day. They're just not going to happen at all, ultimately. Yeah. But let's get at least one conviction.
Because then we can say to the American voters, are you going to vote for a convicted felon, right? Yeah. Someone who's convicted. So I think that, okay, you got some people who you ask them that question, they know what answer you're looking for, and they'll say, nah, maybe I'm not so sure. Maybe I'll reconsider. Even then it was only about, 15% of people. But I don't know that that's actually the case. I mean, what if the shoe were on the other foot? And Biden, for example, what if they impeached him? You think the Biden supporters are going to say, oh, well, you know, if they do that, I'm not going to vote for him after all. You know, I think that first of all, the Trump base is stronger than the Biden base in terms of our commitment to him. But I think that people in both camps, I mean, they're pretty settled on who they're going to vote for. But what's your assessment of, I mean, what do you say? Let me put the question this way. What do you say to a voter who really does say, I'm not so sure I could vote for someone who got convicted?
Well, I would simply remind Mr. or Mrs. or Miss Voter to consider the alternative.
Yes.
What are the alternatives? Well, let's look at it. For the first time in at least 50 years, especially if you believe in life, you had a sitting president that was able to put the exact amount of justices into the Supreme Court that looked at a case, Frank, that you and your group have been working on, seems like forever. We won that. Why? Because of a guy they're trying to put in jail. Let's turn the tables. Let's look at economics. For the first time in written history in the United States of America, we had the best economic numbers we've ever recorded. That's a fact, not my opinion. Again, I would say to that voter, let's look at conflicts. Donald J. Trump, in 4 years, by the way, one would be very remote to try to find anything different, is the only president that said and was able to accomplish, we had no wars going on. We even stopped guys in Iran, North Korea, from espousing this vitriol type of hatred, and he shut them down. First time, by the way, Frank, I would say to that guy or girl, we saw what every president prior to Donald Trump said they would do. We actually saw someone do this. And this was the caveat for so many. He said, elect me. I will make sure that Jerusalem will become the center capital of Israel. Every president said they would do it. But every president after getting in office said, we can't do that. It would cause conflict. Donald J. Trump did it. So what do we have to lose other than, let me get this right, life, making sure that little boys cannot go into little girls' bathrooms? What else do we have to lose? Oh, I don't know. Bringing manufacturing back here to the United States. Now, there's a novel idea. How about this? Shutting down the nuclear armament of Iran, making sure that Kim Jong-un of North Korea doesn't get missiles to annihilate us. What are we thinking here, people? This is a no-brainer. This is not difficult. We know that we're winning this argument, or they wouldn't be trying to put him in jail. I think we're going to win this argument.
Yeah, they wouldn't be trying in the first place. I mean, and I do think, as you go through all those issues, that the American voter, even folks that are not like you and me, you know, in our camp, and with our degree of commitment to President Trump, but I think the average American voter are way more concerned about the kind of issues that you just mentioned than about some entry in a check registry years ago for a perfectly legal non-disclosure agreement about some kind of porn star. I mean, the concerns of people are, you know, more oriented to, is my nation safe? Is my community safe?
Exactly.
Am I going to be able to buy my groceries? What's going on in my life? That's what the voters are concerned about.
Sure. And not only that, Frank, I left intentionally one of the major caveats out. We're losing over 100,000+ of American citizens every single year to fentanyl that's coming across our southern border. By the way, Donald Trump closed the border, was on a couple hundred more miles of gates to say, hey, no more. We want you here, but we want you to do it legally. And so now we have 10, 12, 20 million guesstimate that has come across our border. We know this for a fact because I'm in constant contact with retired generals, et cetera. We know that there are battalions of men, young military-age men from China, from the Middle East, and they're not carrying little children with them saying we need diapers. These are individuals that have now gone into the fabric of our nation. We don't know where they are. And this is a problem because we all remember what happened during 9/11. And by the way, that was just nine individuals. When you have millions of unaccounted for people that have, by the way, sworn our demise, I don't even think this is a difficult question for Mr. and Mrs. I'm not sure who to vote for, vote, unless you hate liberty and you hate your freedom.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Well, on that note, I want to go back into prayer, and I'd like to invite you to lead us in prayer. And brothers and sisters, we've been talking with Aubrey Shines. You'll be seeing more of him, and we're going to be doing more things together for the good of this nation and above all for the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Aubrey, for these reflections and insights. And please lead us in a closing prayer.
So, Father, we thank you for your kindness and your grace that you show towards men everywhere. Your holy word through your Son have actually given us the proper tool. You said, until the world knows who we are because of the love that we have one for another, that your grace would never manifest. But because of the love that we have one for another, the world will even know who you are. So bring us together and help us cross whatever ideological lines that we have. Let us make sure and help us make sure that we stay reflective of you, your grace, your blood that you shed for all mankind. We are unashamed of this great gospel that you have given to us through your Son, Christ. Bring us together and we won't take any credit, but we'll give your name all the glory. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now let us, keeping in mind the intentions of all our viewers, offer the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. Aubrey Shines, thank you for joining us. Friends, check out his program, America Shines with Aubrey Shines. And like I say, Aubrey, I look forward to a lot more work together with you for the good of this nation and for the Lord. Thanks
so much, Frank, my friend, for all the work that you do. God bless you. Love you, brother.
Yep. God bless. Friends, join us again tomorrow on Praying for America. Thanks for all that you do. We'll talk to you soon.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that. And today, I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.